That's a teaser, Dave. It's not going to happen yet. That sermon about the butterfly. Metamorphosis is one of the most amazing things about creation, and as I have long said a few times anyway, we're going to present a sermon one day about what this means. Not today, though, about that. I'm using that as an introduction. The fact that the butterfly is one of the most beautiful creatures that have ever been seen, it is a very fragile creature. It is a very sturdy creature. It's an amazing animal that God has created. What is truly amazing about this creature is that it came, or from where it came from, it comes from a worm. It comes from a very ugly creature, at least that's in my opinion, that, you know, caterpillars, if you think they're beautiful, then you got other problems. But just kidding. But I mean, to think that this beautiful creature would come from where it began, and then the process of how it actually becomes the butterfly is just an amazing transformation. Well, we call that, and that is defined as metamorphosis, and it means to transform as this little creature transforms inside this chrysalis. And they have actually done MRIs or pictures of how this is actually done. It's an amazing thing to see. But this word metamorphosis is actually a word that the Apostle Paul used at least once in Scripture. And it is found in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2. And actually, it is a Greek word, metamorpho, that the word transformation comes from. And what Paul is encouraging the Romans in the latter part of his very heavy theological book of the book of Romans is that in chapter 12, he's really beginning to make some application. He said, let's put all the things that we've said to place. Let's see how we're going to do this. And so he beseeches the brethren by the mercies of God that they present their bodies a living sacrifice, fully acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And he exhorts them not to be conformed to this world, but to be morphosized, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so what he is saying here is that there is this transformation that needs to take place. And it's in that same imagery of something that originates in really sort of a very different kind of a state to something that is a very beautiful state. And the whole imagery of metamorphosis is something that as Christians we can realize that in the larva state, if we want to make a great application of parable of sin and the ugliness of it and the incapability that is found in that state, that we become the beautiful new creation. As a matter of fact, there is twice that the Apostle Paul uses this imagery about the new creation. And the butterfly is, in fact, a new creation. It is not a creation of its original. It is something completely very different. And that is the word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 in saying that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There's something remarkable that's happened. There is a transformation that has taken place, and that the old things have passed away, and behold, the old things have become new. You can actually use this passage in 2 Corinthians 5 to talk about a butterfly and how that it changes from one state to another. And then secondly, in the book of Galatians, in the 6th chapter and in verse 15, when he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." The problem in the early church was that many people taught that you had to be circumcised to be saved, which was more a physical act. And what Paul is saying is that there needs to be a spiritual act. There needs to be a spiritual transformation, not just simply a change or a cutting off, but rather something that is a spiritual significance of transformation. And so this idea of metamorphosis is a spiritual application that should happen in everyone who is a child of God to have that change. And as God planned in the butterfly that there is a plan of change, so there is for you and I as being children of God that there needs to be a change in our lives. But we'll notice that as he talks about this transformation, he says in verse 2 that this transformation is accomplished by the renewing of our mind. I'd like to suggest to you that the problems that we may face in our life as children of God is that we are not changing our mind. We're not transforming ourselves in the renewing of our mind. And what Paul is trying to emphasize here is that the core element of our character is based upon how we think. The transformation begins in the mind because the mind is the heart of man. In the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And I think we can see an application of that, is that we really become who we think that we are. Much of our identity is related to our presence of mind and how we think about ourselves. And the very fact that we know that as we think, that's what kind of comes out of us. Jesus explained that in Matthew chapter 15, somewhat in a negative way. Of course, his disciples were being rebuked because they were not, of all things, not washing their hands. I mean, shame on them for not doing that, right? But Jesus says, listen, washing hands is a good thing to do, but that's not what defiles a man. The Jews had made it into a ceremonial washing that if you didn't wash your hands, and then if you didn't wash it in a certain way and all of this, that you were defiling God, and that it was because you do these certain kinds of things in a certain sort of a way. And Jesus is addressing that, and he says, you know, that's not what defiles a man, that the thing that goes out or goes into the mouth is not what defiles, it's what comes out of the mouth. And he says in Matthew 15, down in verse 18, that those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but the evil of unwashing hands does not defile a man. And what he says is, you know, the defilement that we have is we haven't changed our heart. In other words, our thinking has not changed. We have not renewed. And we look at this list of things, and we can see evidently that these are sins of the heart, evil thoughts. The reason that we haven't transformed our life is because we're still thinking evil thoughts. We're still thinking of things in a carnal passion. We're still thinking of things in the pattern of the world. And those things having to do with murders. I mean, that begins in the heart. It isn't just a random act. The things having to do with adultery, that begins in the heart. And fornications and all of these things. All of these things begin in the heart. And so what we're seeing is that Jesus tells us that we may manifest ourselves in a way that people think, well, okay, I think in some countries if you're caught stealing, they cut your hand off. That may be a deterrent, but the hand ain't the problem. The heart is the problem, is that there is a heart of evil that is there, and Jesus is saying that that's what defiles a man. So immediately we see the need of transforming the mind and transforming the heart, because without the transformation, again using the imagery of metamorphosis, we stay in that ugly larva, you know, chrysalis state that has no value necessarily of itself. And the very fact that Jesus uses the process of life as an illustration about how we think. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but when he's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he is telling Nicodemus that in order for one to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that they've got to be born again. Now, essentially what Jesus is telling us is the process about how we become a child of God. But think about this. When a child is born, when a baby is born, what is their mind like? What is their thinking like? Well, I'll tell you. They're hungry, they're cold, they want to know who hit them, and they want something to eat right now. That's what they're thinking. But the mind of a baby is, it's pure. It has no evil or sin that's in it. It's just a mind of purity. And it suggests that when we become a child of God, and we become a babe in Christ, that we have to begin with that same mind. We have to begin with that same innocence that is there. And that's why Jesus, Matthew 18, uses a child and says that in order for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be like this little child. He says that unless you are converted, there's a companion word, that unless you're converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because children have innocent minds. They've not been polluted with all the intelligent things that we teach them and all the things that we give them. And yet we begin our life as a Christian, and we begin our life like children, that we need to have that mind that is expunged of all of those things that are corrupting us. And that's what Paul is saying. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you're going to be a child of God, get the mind where it needs to be. Transform the mind. Change the mind. Bring it into subjection to God. And that's his argument in the book of Colossians, in the third and fourth chapter. Because again, using this same imagery, he is trying to show how that in order for us to have transformed lives, we have to have transformed minds. Colossians chapter 3 is a great illustration of that, because it says that if then you were raised with Christ, speaking about our baptism, baptized into Christ, we were raised in Christ, we were raised with Christ. And so if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Well, we're going to seek what's in our mind. We're going to think about those things that are important to us. And so he says that we need to seek those things that are mine. But then he says in verse 2, to do that, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, not on the things that are down here, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That tells me that what I need to be doing is that I need to be changing my thinking. I need to be transforming my mind from where it used to be to where it is now in Christ. Is that I don't think like I used to, because I'm different, and that I've seeked those things that are above. And the problem of seeking those things that are above is that I can't keep thinking about the things. It's kind of like trying to climb a ladder and keep looking down. You're not going to get very far. You've got to accomplish in life to be able to set your mind on things above. We've got to stop thinking about things down here on the earth. And so then he says, not only do we change, and it demands change, he illustrates that down in verse 8, for example. Now this is what we don't do anymore. Now see, we've set our minds on things above. We're seeking those things above. This is what we don't do. This is the do and the don't list. But you put off, and notice how many of these specifically have to do with the mind. But now yourselves, you are to put off all these. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man and with his deeds, and you put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And he, again, the idea of renewed there is that sense, at least, of transformation. But see what we've done? What are you saying? That as a child of God, okay, this is not what we do. We don't think like this anymore. Well, I get angry. That's what. Don't do that. Well, I get really mad. Well, don't do that. It's a transformation. Now, it's not an easy thing to do. But we've got to take these things out of our lives. We've got to take out the uncleanness and the passion and the fornication and the evil desire and the covetousness and all of these things. We've got to get that out of our lives so that we can think correctly. Well, how do we think correctly? Well, that's what he talks about in the next section. This is how we transform our minds. This is now how we think. Because I'm an elect of God, which means I'm chosen. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Well, that's what I think about now. Put on kindness. And I'm a kind person because I have a kind heart. I'm humble. I am meek. I'm long-suffering. I'm bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing your grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. What are we doing? Oh, we're changing our mind. Oh, we used to be angry people filled with malice over here, but now because we're Christians, we've transformed from the ugliness of sin. Now we think of things that are forgiving. Now we think about things in kindness. Now we think about good things. Now we have transformed our mind that we're going to do what we used not to do. We're going to forgive one another because that's what Christ has done for us. I learned that as being a child of God. And then it says that all of this is going to be bound together in verse 14 by love. You see, I am guided by the love of God. I'm guided because of the love of my brethren. I'm guided because of my love for humanity. That's what I think about. And it changes my life to where then, what do I do with my thinking? Well, the other part of my thinking comes about when, verse 15, the peace of God rules in your heart. Do you know why many people who are children of God, who are Christians, do you know why they don't have peace in their heart? They got a thinking problem, that's why. There's things that obviously they're not settled in their mind. If we think and if we transform ourselves, we're going to change everything about us, and the peace of God is going to rule in our hearts. And then he says in verse 16, one of the ways that that comes is through the Word of God. You see, this is what we need to be thinking about. This is what we need to fill our minds with, because whatever we fill our minds with, that's what we're going to think. If we do not spend time in this book, we're not thinking about the right things, because we're going to put something in here, and there's a lot of room in here for me. I've got an empty shell up here, and there's a lot of space to fill up. But it's going to be filled with something. It's going to be filled with whatever I may see on television or whatever I watch on smartphones or whatever I read in other books. And a lot of that stuff is really interesting and is kind of good for us. There's nothing wrong with any of this. It's sad to know, but I'm actually going through a series about the Iliad and the whole Greek wars. And it's like, okay, what's that all about? It's just kind of learning stuff. And that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, what needs to be dominant in our lives is the Word of God. I mean, we can think about all the things that have to do in the world and education and sport. Those are good things. But if we don't fill ourselves with the Word of God, we can't think this way to know what forgiveness is. And that's why he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And even in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it. Why? Because that's what I think. Do you know why I do what I do? Because that's what I think. The reason that I say that what I say is because that's what I think. The reason that I act the way I act is because that's the way I think. And so Paul is saying, transform the mind. Bring it into subjection of Jesus Christ. So we have seen that there is a need to change. If then you've been raised with Christ, change your thinking. Okay, here's a list of things that we don't do. Here's a list of things that we do do. Now, how do you put that into application? Well, he gives us that, actually, in the next series in Colossians chapter 3. We haven't gone very far. For example, we're going to do that in the home. Man, when I became a Christian, I'm going to be a different husband, a different wife, a different father, a different mother, a different child. Because his argument is, with all of this being said now, we're changing and we're setting our mind on things above. That means that wives are going to think differently towards their husband. In verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands are going to think differently about their wives because they're going to realize that they need to love their wives and not be bitter toward them. Children are going to have a difference in their mind because they're going to obey their parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. As a parent, think differently. I'm going to transform my mind because fathers, do not provoke your children lest they be discouraged. What happens is that my mind changes. Again, let's go to the negative side. Why are there so many problems in a home? It's because the thinking's not where it ought to be. It's not been transformed. It's not changed to the glory of God. And yet, when I, matter of fact, put all the applications, if I take out the things that we noted earlier in Colossians 3, like verse 5, verse 8, verse 9, and all that, if you take all of that out of the home, and you put in things that we talked about there, verses 12 through 17. If you put that in the home, your home's going to be different. Why? Because husbands and wives are going to treat one another differently. Fathers and mothers are going to treat their children differently. It's almost just so simplistic. The way that we have a better life is we think that we transform our minds. And it changes the world about us. Because in the next series, he talks about the way that in the world. Verse 22, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not service as men, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, chapter 4, verse 1, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Did you notice the change of mind that's there? In verse 22, sincerity of heart. Sincerity of heart. We transform our minds because we have changed our view of things. We can relate this probably to our jobs today, is that we, you know, we're to be the best employees and best employers because we go to it with a different mindset. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be true. I'm going to give them everything that I've got. They're going to be able to trust in me and everything because my mind is different. I've transformed my mind. I'm not going to be like the people of the world. I'm going to be like the person of God. I'm going to transform myself in the world. And with sincerity of heart, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then it also goes on in chapter 4 and 6. has a lot to do with what comes out of the old mouth. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Well, see, that's where it all comes from. Everything about my life is different because I have, is there such a word as metamorphosized? I don't know. Sounds good, doesn't it? I have changed my life. I've transformed. I am not this old ugly chrysalis anymore. I almost said that, a butterfly. Wow, that's embarrassing. A big one. I'm more like a moth, I guess. But I mean, there's a new creation in me. I'm different because I think life has changed, because my home has changed, the world has changed, my speech has changed. I have a new way of thinking. And it comes from a pure heart and thinking good things. Do that. Well, I need to renew my mind. Again, back in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter and in verse 17, he tells us that we need to change our spot. We need to change what we're thinking. And here's the thing that Paul does, and this is kind of interesting how he does this in Ephesians 4. He's rather emphatic. He's like, okay, listen, people, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their whole heart. Okay, come on. He is saying to the Ephesians, stop thinking like that. There's been enough time that's gone by. We've got to stop acting like that, okay? Quit doing that. Get rid of that. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. You have not so learned Christ. Grow up. Change your thinking. Be the kind of person that God wants us to be, is what he is saying there. And the fact that you've not learned that in Christ. What we have learned in Christ is that I've got to change my life. I've got to think differently. And by thinking differently, my life changes. And I've got to make that change. Because if I don't make that change, where am I? What am I doing? Well, I'm still the old man. And in verse 22, he goes on to say that we put off concerning our former conduct. We get rid of the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In verse 23, we are transformed. Be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Did you see that? The new man. Transformation, metamorphosis all over again. And so what I'm going to have to do is, my life is, I'm getting rid of these things. And I'm putting on these new things because my mind is being transformed. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he just simply says, no fellowship with those things. Get rid of them. When we're thinking about things that, I don't play golf. I did, but they accused me of killing too many squirrels. But do you know that when they're out there and they're getting ready to tee off and these guys stand up and tell everybody to be quiet? Do you know what I hate about golf? It's a thinking man's game. You can stand there and there are 37 and a half things you've got to do just standing there addressing the ball. But the most important thing is your mind. And you can pop in an eagle, on this hole and do a triple bogey on the next one. You know why? Because your mind. I mean, you can just get messed up. And if somebody is, you don't bring a boxing crowd to a golf tournament. It didn't work. Why? Because the way we think. And so much of the way we think is distracted by the things of this world, that we don't have our minds centered on Jesus Christ. We've not transformed ourselves in the image of God to think about those things. I mean, it's kind of like garbage in, garbage out. And what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is the problem of trying to get rid of those things that are of the world and those things that are not productive in any sense, of the things that are not holy. I mean, he asked the question, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? What he's talking about is, what does my mind as a child of God have to do with the mind of the world? Nothing. They shouldn't be the same. They should be different. I mean, and whatever we think about is what's going to guide us. I mean, do our friends engage our time and interest to influence us to do things that we really don't need to be doing? I mean, that's because we allow that thinking process to go on. And we begin to think of things that are damaging to our soul, because we've not transformed our lives to be the kind of people that we have done. And I think that the great challenge that we have as being children of God is that we've not transformed ourselves. We think just like we used to. We haven't changed a whole lot. Whatever we did before we became a Christian, that's what we're doing now. Why? Because we haven't transformed our mind. And if the mind doesn't get transformed, nothing else gets transformed. And so we keep doing what we have done before. And it changes our thinking. A new birth demands metamorphosis. Imagine a caterpillar thinking he's a butterfly. It don't work. No matter how much he thinks he's a butterfly, there are no wings with which he can fly. And as children of God, we cannot be children of God like he wants us to be unless we change the image to God. We've got to think like him. When the heart does not change and transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, the life of the saint remains in the larva state, and there's no productivity. Where does Paul explain it? Well, probably the best way is in the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter. He kind of sums it up here, and in all of this, he says, here's the thing. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, if you want to put something on your refrigerator, put that on there. Because that's what will change your life. Because we're not going to think about gossip. We're not going to think about evil things. We're not going to think about those things that will defile us. We're going to think about everything that is noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtue and praiseworthy. That's what we're going to think about. And when we think about those things, then we're going to respond in our lives. And it's going to change our lives. Transform the way you think. And when you change the way you think, it'll change the way you live. Because that's what the folks did on the day of Pentecost. Is that they changed their mind. Did you see that when Peter stood up and the other 11 and he preached that great sermon? What happened? It says that they were pricked in their heart. You know what happened? They had a transformation. They had a moment of metamorphosis. They had a time that they thought, hey, what do we need to do to be saved? Because they wanted the change. They responded to the change in obedience to the heart. And Peter said, repent and be baptized. And so they did that because their hearts were changed and because they were willing to do that. And it doesn't end there. Because now that they become children of God, they learn what it means to be a child of God. And every day of our life, we have to continually change our thinking, to continually transform our lives into the image of God. Will you metamorphose this morning? Will you change and transform yourself? We pray that if you're not a Christian, that you'll make that decision to change to be a child of God. And yet being a child of God, let's change our thinking so it'll change our lives. Consider these things as together we stand as we sing.